You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the NSPS Radio Hour for what is me, another snowy day. Seems as though we can't get enough snow here in the D.C. area this year. So we had about another, 11 or so inches here around Dulles last night. So if I'm out of breath, Joe and Bob, it's because I've been shoveling for the last hour and a half. But I have Joe Paiva and Bob Morris with me today. Thank you for joining me, guys.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.
Glad to have you on. If, for those who don't know Joe and Bob, Joe's name is very well known among surveyors because of all of his activities in our organization and in our profession over the years, both professionally as he was working for other folks and professionally in his own right, particularly on the educational side of things. And really that's what we're here to talk about today is the educational side of surveying. I'm really eager to talk with you all about this. I'm going to call it a new concept. I know it's not new in your minds, but it's new from the perspective of the rollout, I suppose. It's called GeoLearn, www.geo-learn.com. We'll mention that again as we get further in the show, and I just want people to know what the website is. So I guess, first of all, Joe and Bob, give us a brief introduction to yourselves, although I think people know you already, and then we'll get into the content.
Thank you, Kurt. So I'm Joe Paiva, and I am the CEO of GeoLearn, one of the two founders. My partner, Bob, is here on the phone with me. And my background is quite varied. I come from education, from private practice, and then a number of years in product development and marketing and business management. So that's kind of the synopsis and probably the product management part. And the product development part is something that we might get into a little bit more in the second segment. So what we're going to do is talk today about the kind of value that we think we are bringing with our new business because we think it's a new concept. So we'll get into this more, but first I'm going to turn it over to Bob to introduce himself.
Good morning, and my name is Bob Morris. I also come to this point in my career through a variety of activities, starting out in the forest industry, working in the consulting survey engineering field off and on over the years, and for probably the last 25 years, knee-deep in the development and manufacturing side of the industry, building solutions and applications for the land surveyor and geospatial professionals. Joe, and as we'll say here in a few moments, Joe and I have crossed paths a number of times during this time and have arrived at this point where we are trying to bring a vision to fruition and see where we can go with this in the marketplace.
Yeah, and that and actually brings us to a discussion on the concept for the business. I know, as we mentioned, Joe's been really involved with directly with the surveying profession face-to-face for quite some time in workshops and other arenas. And so I'm interested in your evolution, I guess is the right word, to get to this concept and putting it together.
Right. So having done continuing ed courses really since I began my academic career in teaching back in the mid-70s, I discovered that I had a pretty good rapport with professionals in private practice and that they appreciated the kind of programs I put together. And so over the years, I've gotten lots of requests for finding better ways to get the kind of teaching that I like to do to more people. And that's kind of what brought me to the stage of trying to figure out some kind of an online presence. I was fortunate because I was hired by the Missouri University for Science and Technology down in Rolla to teach an online course, credit course, but in the course of doing that, we also came up with some continuing education. So I was able to learn a lot about what was feasible and what was not, and from that start to fine-tune and tailor something that we could maybe have more control over. Bob and I have worked together for a long time, and we'll talk about this later. And so basically we came up with some way to come up with a value proposition that delivers on economics and convenience, in quality, and actually enhancing the learning experience. We intentionally chose the name GeoLearn because we didn't want to be another check-the-box company that provides people with continuing ed or professional development hours without any thought to the kind of information that people could actually learn to improve the basis from which they practice their profession. So I'm going to ask Bob to introduce the idea of how we looked at the economics and convenience part of this business.
Well, as we know, in a busy world of the professional, trying to run a business, maintain relations with clients, and staying up with technology, all the rigors of running an organization, a business, the whole idea of being able to increase your knowledge base and to practically deal with continuing education as part of the profession, it becomes pretty apparent that being able to get on an airplane and fly off to some place to have face-to-face meetings is not always practical in many larger organizations, including corporations and government agencies. There's budgetary constraints that are playing more and more into the whole idea of how do we continue to enhance and educate our workforce. So being able to develop a market or a product for the market that deals with convenience, this whole concept's built around an asynchronous model, which effectively means that the user can, at any time on their convenience, 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, can go online and access these courses. Cost effectiveness probably speaks for itself just in the costs of transportation and all those things associated with trying to get somewhere for a more traditional way that the professional has undertaken this in the past.
So, Kurt, I'm just curious, if I understand correctly, and I know some of the faculty members that you're going to talk about later, if I were looking for my credits in one of the states where I'm licensed, then as is normal for most of us, we always wait till the 13th hour instead of the 11th one to do what we're supposed to do. These courses actually are not just paperwork. I mean, these are quote, for lack of a better term, I'll say live, where they're actually recorded. The instructors are recorded. Is that correct?
Yeah, and as it's actually part of the value proposition that Joe had mentioned, really trying to raise the bar in terms of quality and of content. And so rather than having a PDF online or a PowerPoint with audio, in some cases not even that, we've chosen to go down the route of multimedia, predominantly using video as our mode of delivery on for these online courses.
So not only do we have closer to an analogous situation when you do a face-to-face seminar, but we think that it can actually be more personal because you have this person, this presenter, who is presenting to you on your computer screen in kind of a personal dialogue, which can be quite more effective than when you are sitting at the back of a very large room listening to a presenter, perhaps with less than perfect audio visuals that can or can't be seen. So we certainly have tried in terms of the quality of the communication to improve it significantly over what people might experience, at least on the low end in face-to-face. And then we also have tried to emphasize good quality content by using leading industry faculty. So we launched with 3 faculty, Wendy Lathrop on floods, Gary Kent on Alta ACSM surveys, and then myself on a variety of topics, including unmanned airborne systems, state plane coordinate systems, and errors. But we have a number of other faculty in the wings, and if you go to the website, you'll see that they're listed. We're still in the process of recording the courses before we get them on. But they include Dave Doyle and geodesy and similar topics, Bill Henning. Both of these gentlemen are retired from the National Geodetic Survey. Bill Henning will be talking about real-time GPS and other uses of GPS. Eric Gackstatter, more on the GPS technology. Dick Elgin on business topics, as well as the U.S. Public Land Survey system. Dennis Mooland, again on the land survey system, but also he's well known for ethics topics. And Christine Gayron on LIDAR, both mobile and terrestrial fixed. And that's just the beginning. We will continue to keep pulling industry-leading speakers who know what they're talking about, who are going to present a variety of interesting topics, and we'll just keep expanding that lineup. Initial focus is in surveying, or strictly within surveying, but we will very quickly start adding GIS topics that surveyors can relate to so that they can learn how to maximize their productivity and their attractiveness in the marketplace, and then start to extend to other geospatial topics as well.
Is this, I'm asking this question out of ignorance, is this set up such that if I'm listening to or watching the video and there's something I want to hear again, I'm able to do that, or is it just continuous run?
Yeah, you will be able to rewind, so to speak, and retrack yourself all during the course. The one thing that we have done, and this is all part of raising the rigor of delivery, is you cannot fast forward through these. This is designed with the essence of what we're trying to achieve in the courses, that you would go through it from front to end. Once you've gone through the entire course, you can come back at any time and go back through the course. So the primary thing is not having the ability to fast forward, but actually going through the rigor of the course, through the quizzes, and through the final exam, if in fact you're trying to seek PDA or professional development hours.
Right. Well, I know we're really close to our first break here, so, and instead of trying to cut you off, once we get to talk a little bit further, we'll go to that break here in just a couple of seconds. But I was thinking about this as you were talking about it, and I like the live aspect of it. I think everybody likes that kind of thing. And it sort of reminded me, and although I'm not really intimately familiar with how it works, I know that some of the CFED stuff is kind of done that way on their very specific topics. And it seems to be very, very very, very successful for people. And I know for me personally, I would like that. I know just because I know you guys remember the old 8-track or the videotapes that we used to get in the mail and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, we can talk about that when we come back. It looks like we're time for the break here, if my clock is correct. Seems like the clocks run slower here in D.C. than they do in Atlanta. So hopefully I'm on time. So let's go to that first break.
Attention surveyors. Are you aware that that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like. Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with Joe Piva and Bob Morris this morning talking about GeoLearn, a new and creative way for those of us, and pretty much when I say those of us, it's pretty much all of us at this point. Maybe you guys have better statistics than I do regarding states that are requiring continuing education, but I think we're down to only a handful or less than a handful that don't have requirements. Do you have that current information?
Well, it's getting into the high 30s right now when you look at the total of 50 states, but some of it, it is in process currently, so it's a little bit of a moving target for us. One of the things that we have tried to stress is that our company exists to provide ways to beef up your technical knowledge regardless of whether you want that continuing education or not. So even though our focus is to make sure that we do have a way for you to take a certificate with that has actual professional development hours that are provided by a university, we also want to be known as a source of cutting-edge information as well as more basic information, and we'll get to that in a subsequent section.
I was just going to ask you, have you dealt with I know there's some states, and the ones that come to mind are Florida and New York, and I know there are others, where their boards require pre-approval of courses. I assume you're dealing with them as you have to.
Yes. So the way we are trying to deal with these, some states are a little bit more difficult than others, so it will take us a little bit of time to get to it. But what we have is a relationship with Texas A&M in Corpus Christi. Some of you may know that they have a leading geospatial, geomatics, and GIS program there. And what we do is we have them review every one of our courses. And a course that has what we call continuing education credit or professional development hour credit associated with it is reviewed by them, and they actually then allow us, they then confer that formal professional development hour credit upon it, which then is transferred to the student at the completion of the course. Earlier on, getting back to your question, then Kurt, we just had a conversation with some of the people in Texas. We haven't had the Texas board yet review the courses in advance, but the history is that when you have taken a course that has some method of quality evaluation done by a third party, especially a third party that's highly regarded, such as Texas A&M Corpus Christi, then the probability to get to any board, including the Texas board, to accept it is much higher. We only launched our website a few days ago, so it will take us a little bit of time to figure out exactly how the licensing boards are viewing our courses.
Yeah, I would think as you go through that process, the fact that you've assembled such a distinguished panel of instructors will be helpful as well, because they oftentimes look at the instructors as well as just the course name or content. So I would be willing to bet that everybody on your team has been through that process numerous times.
That's exactly right. And fortunately, as an academic, I have quite a bit of experience in this. So what the Texas A&M faculty in Corpus Christi do is they don't just simply look at our course title. So we have a fairly detailed abstract of the content. We provide learning objectives. But you're absolutely correct that the credentials of the presenter have to also be considered as part of the evaluation. And we provide all that to Texas A&M in the process of getting that accreditation. And that is a big part of what we call the quality experience that we believe we deliver, because we probably will all acknowledge that if you go out there, whether it's online or face-to-face, that you can get quite a bit of variation in quality, and we want to see some kind of a minimum quality level of satisfaction. And I should tell you that the people who have taken our courses so far have all rated our courses extremely highly. One of the things that we also wanted to point out, Kurt, if we may, is that we come, Bob and I, from a background of product development where trying to get products that would be found useful to surveyors and highly adoptable by surveyors was important. So it's that kind of time frame or mindset that we used in trying to develop this course. Bob and I both come from roots where we developed products such as the SDR2 and the SDR33, and many old-timers will know what those are, and quite frankly, that's the kind of attention to detail that we are trying to present here as well.
One of the things that that really plays, I think, a large role in how we're approaching this is just picking up on what Joe talked about, the user experience. When you're developing solutions, one of the things you realize very early on is that there's a huge tendency for people to get caught in a technology trap, and that's the button-pushing mentality of dealing with technology, whether it's GPS or data collectors. And hopefully as we go forward and we're talking about the base-level technology and how it's used, that we can capitalize on that understanding and ensure that we can help the practitioner go beyond the button pushing and really understand why they're doing what they are and how they can maximize technology in general.
Yeah, earlier on, Joe, I think you were going to mention the whole idea of the learning experience and expanding knowledge base and practical application. I'd like to have you focus on that a little bit more, because having attended lots of surveying conferences and been in lots of workshops and even presented some on my own, sometimes you get the idea that folks are there and they get their credits, but they're not necessarily going home with something in their mind or in their toolkit that they're actually going to be able to apply directly to improving their knowledge base, improving their service, improving the whole experience in dealing with people. So I'm very pleased to hear that that's kind of your focus, to help people get information and tools that will help them expand their knowledge and provide better service.
That's one of the reasons, among other topics, we will also have many business-related topics so that people can actually take them and start applying them, not just on the technical side, but on the business side. To help with the learning, one of the things we do, our courses are typically 1 hour long. About every 15 minutes, we interrupt the course and have some quiz questions. These are not make-or-break questions, because we tell you if you answer them wrong, but it's a way of reinforcing what you've learned in the last 15 minutes, so that if you do answer them wrong, maybe you will be persuaded, or you will persuade yourself to go back and review what was said or what was written, so that you can reinforce that knowledge before you go on to the next segment. We repeat this with every segment, and then at the end we have a final exam. The final exam is currently not mandatory, but it may be mandatory in a particular customer's state, because online education is not universally accepted in a uniform way across the country. So in some states, you may actually have to take the final exam to be able to get credit for online education. But we are hoping that people will feel the need to actually take the exam to test how they have performed, so that they can be proud of the achievement, because our purpose is not to teach the stuff that people already know, but to teach some of the nuances of what people already know, and then to move on, to build on that, to build the knowledge base that we all as practitioners need to build upon as we engage in lifelong learning, which I believe is one of the hallmarks of a professional, regardless of the profession you belong to.
I'm curious. You talked about the business side of things and practical application side of things, and I know that both of you have some background in the product side of things. Is there any thought that at some point there might be, and maybe this can't work in this format, I don't know, it just came into my mind as we were talking, helping people better understand how to use the products that they purchase?
That's actually another key area. There's several different areas. The one we've focused on mostly up to this point is for continuing education and hopefully some altruistic endeavors by the practitioner. But there's also a scope in this business through our technology to provide courses that would focus on the how-tos for specific technology, specific products for that matter, and, you know, to be able to help people with the investments that they've put into their business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because as new technologies emerge, I hate to say this because of the economics of things today, but it's easier to buy them than it is to learn how to use them. And so having something like that, I think, particularly something people can go back to and if they choose to do so, and I assume that's possible in the scenario. Somebody, if they wanted to go back to something and look at it a second time, they could do that.
Yes. People who have attended my face-to-face seminars know that I am a huge advocate of understanding how the technology works rather than being a black box button pusher. Then people like Dave Doyle, Bill Henning, all believe that even people like Dennis Mullen, when they talk about ethics, will talk about how knowing what it is that your technology is doing and understanding what it does, maybe not at the level of the experts who may have, say, brought in some of the GPS processing techniques or geodesy in, but to at least have the general idea of how all this works together. And so one of my lifelong goals has been to bring knowledge about technology to the user in my face-to-face seminars, and we certainly will be expanding that. And we will be actually looking for feedback, and one of the things we want to encourage people is that if they go to www.geo-learn.com, that they will see that there is a contact page where they can send us a note about kind
of... We're at our next break. I hate to break in, but so we do our break on time. We need to go do that, and we'll pick up right where we left off when we come back.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators, any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Schonstedt, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back for our next segment with Joe Paiva and Bob Morse today as we're talking about online education and GeoLearn in particular. Our listeners who are regulars know that we have each week a contest by our sponsor, Parker Davis. It's called the Quick Stakes Contest. And I ask a question to our guest, and the guest gives the answer, and the first person to email in to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com gets a gift certificate from our sponsor. So my question to you, and the answer we're looking for from the from our respondents is, what is that website again?
www.geo-learn.com.
So the geo-learn is a really important part of that. So that's our answer for today's Quick Stakes question, www.geo-learn.com. Thanks for participating in our contest today. We've talked about the idea of online, and I know remote learning, if that's the right terminology, or learning not in classrooms, you know, the standard classroom has always been a part of the discussion in continuing education among the states. And so tell us about your thoughts on strengthening and validating that whole idea of online.
Yes. So the first thing I think that we will say is that when there is a high-quality face-to-face presentation, that there's probably no substitute for that. But there's all kinds of reasons why people might want different ways of being able to get that that quality learning experience. And so I know, having read between the lines on FAQs that state licensing boards publish, that surveyors have wanted to get credit for self-study, for reading books and writing reports, correspondence courses, and so forth. And the licensing boards rightly have also had some concern about the quality of the education. Are people actually doing this? Are they actually learning anything? And so we decided when we began this business that we would want to put the emphasis on learning rather than checking the box for PDH or continuing ed credits. Now, I'm not saying that continuing ed credits are not important, because you certainly need them to be able to renew your license, but we are hoping that people view education as something that is a necessary activity that they perform during their career, regardless of whether some external authority requires it.
And I think as we, you know, look at the way online education is being delivered today, unfortunately, I think what gets created is, you know, a less than stellar experience in terms of keeping interest and, you know, perhaps engaging a practitioner in wanting to seek continuing education for something other than professional development hours. We surveyed the market pretty intensely prior to beginning GeoLearn and saw, you know, the general approach was fairly mediocre at best, with using online text documents followed up by reading. There's so many ways to game the system that we took the approach that we need to put the rigor into the system to build the validation to make this a more acceptable way of pursuing continuing education or education in general, you know, particularly for the crediting state associations.
Yeah, it was interesting you mentioned the word learning in general, because a question I was going to ask, and this is going to sound like it's coming totally out of left field, I'm sure, but you mentioned Dick Elgin earlier. He and I and a few other folks have been having some discussions lately about what we see as a pending dilemma, at least in terms of our educational programs, to get the prerequisite education for surveying, with our limited ability to get to even prepare the next level of instructors here in our country. We're not creating many of those, if any, here in our country. And depending on folks coming from other places, which so far seems to be working fairly well, but we're not sure how long that's going to last in the long run. And not only that, but learning what our real job is on the boundary side. We learn a lot of technology as we're going through our educational processes, but you guys know Jeff Lucas, his opinions on those kind of things, and a lot of other people. But it seems to me that one of the things we've kind of chatted about is this idea of providing some education in a similar format to what you're doing or what CFEDS is doing for those who have gone past the fundamentals exam after they went to university, but are in their interim period, their internship, and usually four-year period, providing opportunities to learn more specifically about that decision-making process in resolving the issues that come up in boundaries. And it seems to me like what you guys are talking about doing would lend itself really well to that. I don't know if you've even thought about that. But
yes, for sure. We see the experience and depth of background that our speakers have. You mentioned Dick Elgin already. He's one of those guys. He just published his the public land survey book on the Missouri system. He previously published a book on the Arkansas system. But he, Dennis Mullen, who, as you probably know, was instrumental in forming the CFEDS program, have a great amount of experience that they can bring to the table. So while Dennis will start with ethics courses, he will definitely be spending time on some of these other areas, because we often find, Dick and I certainly have found this from teaching land survey exam prep classes, that that very often even the formal instruction that people have had at the tertiary level, at the university level, the college level, sometimes haven't covered some of those critical things that you just mentioned, Kurt, which is this whole business of professional judgment and how do you apply it in the case of a property boundary survey.
Exactly. That was exactly the point that we've been discussing. And it wasn't just Dick and me. There's a bunch of other people talking about it as well. But it seems as though we've all heard the pincushion effect kind of thought that people talk about. And that kind of sounds like evidence, or looks like evidence, that maybe that thought process isn't as well developed as it might be. So it seems to me that what you guys are talking about would be a good platform, whether it be in public land states or not, because the thought process has to be similar, at least in terms of the approach, no matter where you are.
That's correct. And that's one of the reasons why we have the things like the quizzes and the final exam, and why we don't permit fast-forwarding through the course content. If you look at some of the other online options that are out there, there are some that are pretty flagrant at skirting, we'll call it, the regulations. It's actually possible in some cases to simply find a course, take the quiz without actually taking the course, pass the course, send in your money, and get your PDH or continuing ed certificate. We are all familiar with that type of system that occurs, and of course there's no learning that's occurring. People are simply talking about what they already know. That's not learning. That's simply stating what you already know. And so we are hoping that the kind of customers we will attract are people who genuinely want to learn, who want to expand their knowledge base, and who want to do it in a quality way, so that they can actually take it to their work, whether it's in the field, in the office, in the management of their business, in the way they train their people, in the way they mentor their people, which is all part of being a surveying professional.
Yeah, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, and you were talking about the post-education or post-college degree side of things, what we were discussing there, but I know there are situations where that might even be applicable, particularly with the quality of the faculty that you have assembled in assisting programs. And I was just in Wyoming recently, and you know the University of Wyoming has surveying courses, and they don't have a degree, and then their students go on to Sheridan, and that they get an associate's there, but they're trying to find a way to get beyond that, you know, team up with some other program somewhere, and many of the programs are having their own difficulties in that regard, and it would seem to me that if there may be a way, and again, I'm talking pie in the sky here, I guess, but maybe there's a way to integrate some of this into even the undergraduate part of instruction as well, to provide those pieces that aren't available perhaps through current instructors out of school, or maybe the schools don't even have people doing that.
We are certainly open to that, and we've already begun some discussions in our case, because we already have an arrangement with Texas A&M Corpus Christi. We're looking at possibly some of our distinguished faculty offering courses that you could get continuing ed credit for, but possibly also if you took a sequence of courses, say 7 or 8 courses for half a credit or 15 courses for a full credit hour. That is not being offered currently because, as you probably know, universities have quite a bit of a process that you need to go through to get courses approved and actually offered so that you can get a university transcript for the course, not just a record of having taken a professional development hour from GeoLearn. But we will be working on that actively, so I would suggest that you stay tuned to us, that perhaps over the next 12 months we can start announcing some of the progress we've made in terms of being able to offer courses that might actually be of such a quality that they are applicable to its college credit.
Yeah, I think that's a good pursuit for a lot of reasons, one of which is just the struggles. This weekend I was in at Troy University. I'm on their advisory team down there, and they've got a really good faculty down there. But I know a lot of our schools, although they have good faculty, sometimes they don't have enough. And so I can see where something like this might be helpful in those situations, because I think the one thing we don't want to happen is that, for lack of being able to provide the education, we somehow start falling backward in our thinking about prerequisite education for licensure.
Yes. Go
ahead. I started to say we're a minute or so away from break, but go ahead and I'll break in if I have to.
Okay. I was just going to say, people may remember that I was on a show a couple of months ago with Will Anderson talking about how to resolve this education issue, and one of my reasons for participating in that is because through my entire career I have been interested in this, and we will certainly use the resources of GeoLearn as we can to help facilitate this in the future.
Great. Well, I know we're right pretty much on our last break, so let's go to that, and we'll come back and wrap up.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that Pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. and because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back with us today on NSPS Radio Hour with Joe Paiva and Bob Morris. We're talking about GeoLearn. Today we've talked about a number of things, some initiatives that have already been begun, and some thoughts for how to proceed further. So I guess in this last segment, Joe and Bob, I'd like you to share with the audience your initiatives for the future, where you're planning to head.
Sure. We've talked about the professional education courses we offer, and we've also talked in the last segment about our desire to add courses that could have college credit attached to them. Part of our plan is to also offer courses that are at the technician level. So these could be how-to courses or perhaps more basic information. And what we're going to try to do is track the syllabus for the CST, the Certified Surveying Technician exams, and try to have courses that perhaps could address one or more syllabus points to try to help people who are perhaps without any other resources to gain some of the knowledge that they need to be able to not only pass the exam, but to be good practitioners. I mean, that's one of the things that I have believed through my entire education career that I hope other people will buy into, and that is that life is not simply passing an exam. It's taking that knowledge and then applying it to the work that one does so that you become a better, more seasoned professional through the experience and through the application of that newfound knowledge.
I would say, based on the calls and emails and even letters sometimes that we get in our office from people who are pursuing CST, I think there's a market for what you're thinking about doing, because we hear that request often.
Great. Well, I'm hoping that at some point we can do some kind of a collaboration with NSPS or with the CST people, so that we can at least be a point of reference. One other area, before I turn it over to Bob, would be exam prep courses. So this is courses for people who are getting ready to take the land surveying examinations, that we would provide different levels of instruction on different topics. And again, this is a great place for listeners to use that contact page on our website to give us suggested topics that they think we should be covering there. But initially, we'll be covering mostly the land surveying exam, but as time goes on, there are other certifications that are out there, and we'll be looking at them hard to see if there's enough of an audience out there to perhaps deliver courses for other certificates as well.
So picking up on that, the expanded areas that we see in the broader geospatial market would include remote sensing and photogrammetry, certainly GIS. We've had already inquiries about courses regarding BIM and other emerging technologies to add to our overall course catalog. In addition to that, one of the areas that we want to pursue is taking our course catalog in its broadest sense and creating custom solutions for various groups, whether that's a corporate entity or government agency, where they want maybe perhaps a little more control over what's being offered to their workforce. We do have the capability through our learning portal technology to create what we call a micro portal, which is basically a group-branded entry point into the course catalog, and then what's in that course catalog would be tailored to the group in terms of what they're trying to achieve for their employee base. We're also, as we grow, we'll hope to provide or be more of a destination website for the industry. There's lots of information portals out there. All the media, of course, has gone digital. There's a number of different areas, but to attract people back to our website, we will be a purveyor of information. Hopefully we'll have topical interest interviews, staying current with what's really on top of the news in the industry in a broader sense. And then I guess ultimately our goals are to go beyond the U.S. borders and take on more of an international flavor. We have a number of courses and technologies that already we're seeing a lot of interest through our website analysis of countries, quite a few countries around the world accessing us. So that's really the thrust of where we're headed with the overall program.
Yeah, that's pretty – I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say we will keep adding speakers. We have a list of 9 faculty right now. Only 3 of them have courses on our website. So we'll be adding their courses, and at that point we will – or excuse me, as we continue, we will continue to add speakers who can deliver content that will be meaningful to our listeners. But at the same time, we will be adding content with speakers who come in from other countries. And this is not necessarily something that our audience should not be paying attention to, because there are leaders in fields like LIDAR, unmanned airborne systems, photogrammetry, remote sensing, and so forth, especially mobile LIDAR, who will be speaking in many cases in English that people might be interested in. So, of course, this is not going to happen next month. This is a process of growth. But I just wanted to point out that the speakers and topics range will be constantly expanding, because our focus is geospatial, and we will really want to flesh out this medium for everyone in the geospatial industry.
Yeah, that's one of the things we learn, I think, through our experiences with organizations like FIG, with that wealth of information and expertise is out there worldwide. And although I've never been able to attend, Intergeo, I think, probably presents some of that as well.
That's correct. So we will start to form partnerships with many media companies and state associations and national associations. But we will also, if they permit us to, form partnerships with organizations like FIG and Intergeo. As you know, Kurt, the Young Surveyors are having a meeting in April, and I'm hoping to actually speak with them and try to figure out how we can get them to also provide us with input on how we can develop our company and its content and the kind of topics that we cover. They know a lot of people who are leading edge around the world, and I'm hoping that they will help us introduce us to them so that we can use them as faculty in future course offerings.
Yeah, we're really, really excited about the Young Surveyor group that's going to meet. It's actually during or just prior to the California-Nevada Joint Conference, at which our spring meetings are going to be held this year. And so just the day before our spring meetings begin, we'll be having that Young Surveyors group meet. And we're hoping that is a springboard to expand across our country Young Surveyor groups. We have some of our state societies that have already begun them. But watching this young group that's coming in and how they operate, I think will be helpful and hopefully encouraging and inspirational for people to start that, because clearly that's where our future lies.
Exactly. And if I may just make a plug for the Young Surveyors meeting, Kurt, it's advertised on the top line of the NSPS website, but in case you want to check your calendar, it will be a Monday and Tuesday, the 14th and 15th of April, in the San Diego, California area.
Yeah, it's at the meeting site is the Town and Country Hotel and Conference Center, which is not down by the water, but it's a couple miles off. Very nice facility. And that's where our meetings will be held. That's where the California Nevada Conference is being held. And so we would encourage anyone who can attend. One of the things by going to those young surveyor meetings is just seeing how bright those young people are. It's pretty amazing.
I agree. So we are trying to reach out not only to the young surveyors who are obviously more attuned to using online content, but the older surveyors. I was just noticing on the Texas A&M Corpus Christi website that that I believe this is true for Texas, but it may be true for the entire country, that the median age for surveyors, or perhaps it's the average age for surveyors, is around 56. And the other interesting thing that I read on the Texas A&M Corpus Christi website is that there are actually more surveyors age 70 and older than there are surveyors aged 40 and under. So while there's a problem there that we need to resolve, our message is that we want to reach those older surveyors too, for whom the website presence for learning may not be such a common concept. It's developed quite a bit since it was first developed many years ago, and we want to encourage people to come to www.geo-learn.com.
Yeah, you talk about the older group. I've often said, even on the show, that median or average age is good for people like me because it means I'm now above average. But I think what you see going ahead is people like to hang on to their license, and being able to access educational opportunities such as you're talking about, I think will be instrumental to a lot of people who, in some cases, maybe can't go to their conferences and do it live. So I think it creates a nice alternative way to do that. And so according to my watch, we have probably somewhere between a minute and a half and 2 minutes left. So I don't know if you want to have a closing statement for our guests or for our listeners or not.
Sure. What I'll do is first follow up on that last comment and just say, while it's true for the older surveyors, it's true for everyone, that we actually have a means for you to track all your training, not just the training you get on our website, on our portals. So you can have one common place where training you get on our site, as well as continuing ed from other places, it can be manually entered. You can even scan your certificates and load them up into our website and keep them there in a standard repository. So the wrap-up, I'll turn it over to Bob.
We just encourage everybody to visit our website at www.geo-learn.com. We've spent a fair amount of time trying to make it intuitive. We have a training portal that you gain access to through our website. There's a number of different things to look for on that, including the course catalog, some of the interviews that we've taped at this point. And you know, look for additional things as we go forward that we hope will be of use.
And thank you both so much for being with me today. This is very informational, and I think it'll be something that people will want to look at. So, again, thank you for being with me. I appreciate it very much, and I'll look forward to seeing you in a few weeks, Joe, out at the Young Surveyors.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.